your seats. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. And we just believe that whatever the Lord's going to do today, he's going to do it right here.
Yeah.
Amen. It's like I remember them saying years ago, I forget who it was. I think it might have been Perry Green, but whichever one it was, that if there was anybody going to go in the rapture, it was going to be me. It's going to be you, right? There's only one person in Arkansas, it'd be me. And you have that same attitude. So I'll say if there's any one church that's going to go on the rapture, let it be us. Amen. So we believe that. And of course, you know, it's Satan's job to make us feel, you know, to let Laodicea kind of settle in on us so we become kind of sleepy and lethargic and not, so, you know, we would maybe forget the urgency of the hour and the fact that the body change could be any moment.
That's right.
And so I know that a waltz through the scriptures would help us reawaken to the things that are going on. And so we just ask the Lord to do that. I just want to remind you that next week, Brother Ben Norrod is here with us. So we'll have service Saturday night at 6 o'clock, Sunday morning at 10:30, and then we're also having a Sunday afternoon service at 3 p.m. And so just be in prayer for that service. Be looking forward to that. And ask the Lord that he would just grant to us a special time around his word next week. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to Jeremiah 29. Begin reading at verse 10. One of these days, maybe we can get or make us a little bit bigger desk up there. Not quite enough real estate. Just need about 15 or 20% more. Amen. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. This is God speaking to Israel about them being in captivity in Babylon because they had gotten in trouble. They had sinned, and the Lord allowed them to be carried away or caused them to be carried away. He says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek or search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Amen. Let's bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're asking that you would just let your blessings be upon this service today and upon each heart. Lord, that you would come and speak to us and that every person would be attentive, Lord, that you would cause their ears to hear. Lord, that you would cause me to be able to speak, that each one of us, Lord, would get ourselves out of the way and your Holy Spirit would be pleased and come and just work through us today. We ask, God, that you would cause us to go away from service this morning with the things that you desire for us to know. Lord, that our spirit inside would be stirred, and God, that it would be beneficial to your kingdom, Lord, that which that you impart within us this morning. We know, Lord, that you're here. We each one bring you here. We're gathered in thy name, and so we're trusting, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts today. We ask, God, that you just give each one of us strength that we need in our physical bodies, Lord, as we sit through this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And you can be seated. So this morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about prayer. A couple of weeks ago we had talked about a call to prayer, so I want to call this Call to Prayer Part 2, and I want to call it Seeking After God. So I kind of think that we talk many times about how hard it is for us to enter into prayer, and Satan certainly fights that, and I think that's I think we have the word. I think God has placed within us a ministry that anything that we have need of between now and rapture time, it's here. It's here for us to absorb. where God has left this one channel there that he wants us to operate, and that is that we would enter into his presence in prayer. And so Satan fights it. He knows there's a lot there. And so remember, you know, before God created anything, he had a desire for fellowship with his family.
Right.
And so in prayer is a way for us to be able to reach out to him and communicate with him. But I think people fail miserably in their prayer lives and in their approaching to God and seeking after God. I don't think people seek God enough.
Right.
And so we find out here in the scriptures, and I read that just because I wanted to show you that he said there that in the day that you seek me with all your heart, not just part of your heart,
right,
but in the day that you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you're going to find me. And you have to realize God is not the lacking here, right? So the day that we do it with all our heart, he's right there, and he will not miss his part.
Yeah.
I was talking to a man one time, and he said, I've tried, I've prayed, and I get nothing from God. And I think if I remember correctly, I quoted that to him, that you have not sought God with all your heart, or you'd have got an answer.
Yeah.
That there was some part of your heart that he was holding back and wasn't ready to give to the Lord. So he was holding something, and God knew that. And so he knows if you're holding something back. He knows if you're not really ready to give it all to him.
Right.
And so as long as that's the case, then he's not obligated. But the moment that a person seeks God with all their heart, that's the day that they're going to hear from God, according to the scriptures. And so I told him that. Now I'll be reading some quotes here. I know 2 weeks ago when I was on prayer, I read 44 quotes. So I know Brother Daniel was gone, I think, at that time, but or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. I don't remember. 3 weeks ago, I guess. So anyway, I won't read that many, but they were short quotes. That's why I was able to read that many. So in this sermon called The Prophet Elisha, Brother Ram said, now, that's what we do. Sometimes we go off on a tantrum somewhere and not think about God, not pray over it, and ask the Lord whether we should do it or not, and we find out that our supply of blessings is cut off. Then we wonder sometimes, well, I wonder why I can't have no more blessings. And he said, you don't watch. You've let down on your prayer life. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. And he said, well, that's the more sign that you should pray more than ever. Read your Bible every day and pray every day. And I quoted this part the other day. Don't make any decisions too harshly or too quickly without first considering God about it. Ask him, shall I do this, Father? Ask him, is it your will for me to do this? And then see what the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He may not give you a vision, but he will speak in some way to you and let you know if you are sincere and ask him. And so there, Brother Brown talks about it. The one thing is the with all your heart, amen? With all your heart to seek God. And so he's saying, you know, many times we just go right into something and we don't take the time and ask God. I think a lot of times people don't do it because they already know what God's going to say.
Right.
See? But I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's something I want. I wanted really bad to go to those meetings in Mexico, but God wouldn't let me. See? And so his yeses are good and his noes are good if that's his perfect will,
right,
no matter what we want. And so people fail to include God into everything. And as he said, don't you make any major decisions whatsoever. Don't you consult God. And I think even for the little decisions, consult God on everything and ask him and let him speak to you. And so the truth of the matter is that we need to get into the Spirit. We need to get into the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, every human has a spirit. Each one of us have a spirit. Nations have a spirit.
Right.
A city has a spirit. There's spirits that are around activities, football games, and different sports games and things like that. There's all kinds of spirits. And so, you know, but you know, Brother Ram talked about the over around the Scandinavian countries, he said over there, some of those countries there, have a real loyal. Their spirit is loyalty. But he said America's spirit is a frolic and laughter. Tell me a joke. Ha ha.
Yes.
Right? Because a person knows, and I'll get to this in just a little bit, but when a person gets quiet, something begins to talk to them. And if that something's beginning to tell them that they're falling short of God and they're not ready to meet God, they want something to cover that up. So they want a joke. They want something to make you feel good and all that so you can forget about your sorrows or forget about things, see? So that's kind of what happens. And America's got that spirit of frolic and laughter and tell me something funny, which we all have enjoyed funny things, and we all will say things to one another that's funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can get caught up in something like that to such a degree that you miss God. And so we don't want to do that. Brother Branham enjoyed a good laugh and would tell jokes and hear and want people to tell him jokes and stuff, as long as they were clean jokes.
Right.
See? But you don't want to have those things cover up the major thing, and that is that your walk with God is right. And so where there's all kinds of spirits, each one of us have a spirit, and the nation has a spirit. But we don't need the nation's spirit. We don't need a spirit of a ball game or something like that. What we need is God's spirit.
Right.
And so we can only know the things of God by the Spirit of God. And so in 1 Corinthians, I think she probably has it, but I'll read it. We're familiar with this scripture. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed it unto us by Facebook, by the newspaper, by what you hear on the radio." No. The things of God are revealed to us by the Spirit of God. "For the Spirit of God searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" See? You can't even know the things of man unless you've got the spirit of man in you.
Right.
I don't understand the way dogs think because I don't have a spirit of a dog. Right? So I have to have the spirit of a man in me to understand the ways and the thinkings of man. Well, guess what? If you want to know the things of God, what spirit do you got to have?
Right?
Right? And you're in that Spirit of God is not just automatically, inherently in you 100% like it needs to be. It's opened through a channel, which is what we're talking about. So, you don't know the ways of man save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So we have to get into the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. Therefore, here at the end time, if God would come and visit us with a revelation that will absolutely prepare us for body change, we've got to get into the spirit of that which he has sent.
That's right. Right.
Amen? And so you're not going to get that anywhere else except in the right place where that kind of thing comes from.
Amen.
And so that's why we should keep ourselves, we should read our Bible, we should pray, we should get into the message, we should fellowship, everything that we can possibly in our lives, that we can possibly dedicate to godliness and the environment of God, that's what we want to do, because in that we are in the Spirit of God, then we can know these things, the Spirit of God can reveal these things to us. And you may say, "Well, Brother Tony, I don't understand this." Well, get in His Spirit. And he will show these things to you. If it's for you, he's going to give it to you. He's not going to hold something back.
Right.
He will let you know what you need to know. And so we know we need to get into his spirit. And you know, the spirit in the Bible is typed by oil. And oil makes things run smoother. Oil keeps things from rusting. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that the oil is the thing that the whole earth financially runs off of, the power, the petrol, the oil, and the gas industry, and it's so powerful. That's where you can fly your airplanes, and you've got great strength in military, but you wouldn't if you didn't have petroleum.
Right.
You wouldn't have the cars. You wouldn't have the commerce. None of those things, see? So in the world, in the natural, he who has the oil rules. Mm-hmm. Well, in the spirit, same way, no matter what it is, if it's the spirit of basketball, the guy who's anointed under that spirit, he rules the court. Because he becomes dynamic in what he is because he's anointed of that spirit. That's what makes him what he is, no matter what fields you go to. It could be an actress or an actor or a song singer or a musician, whatever they are. Those people are the best in their class because they get into the spirit of what that is that they are. And so when a person gets anointed of the spirit of whatever it is, they actually begin, and this is just my words of describing it, but actually begin to take on themselves a supernatural side. They begin to be empowered to be what they couldn't be without that anointing, without that spirit.
Right.
Well, it's the same way with God. We can sit around and just kind of read the scriptures like a newspaper or whatever, but if we never get into the spirit, the realm of God, then that letter just basically is there. The scripture says, actually, the letter killeth,
yes. But
the spirit gives life.
Right.
So if we want to know the things of God, and if we want the word of God to work for us and be life for us, we have to get into the spirit of the word, the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
Which makes me think about the name of our church, Spirit and Truth Assembly, because Jesus said, they that worship, that God is a spirit, not three, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right?
Well, you know, the word is truth. But you've got to worship him in spirit to the word, in addition to the word. And so the spirit of truth, none other than the Holy Ghost, none other than Jesus Christ in spirit form here now, that anointing is there to make that word come alive. Because without it, it's death to you. But with his spirit, that word comes alive and becomes life to us. So we've got to have this relationship and enter into, on the basis of the word, enter into the presence of God through prayer and get in that realm where now we're in his spirit and these things become alive to us. You'll get a lot more done in the presence of God, or if you're in the presence of God, than you will without it. And so... You take a person who's an actor or an actress, they actually get into the spirit of the role that they're playing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they become really good at it. And so I remember seeing one time something on, called a TED Talkers. And, you know, it used to be thought that all the good stuff that you hear on TED Talks was pretty good stuff, but there's a lot of nonsense out there now. But it's usually highly intelligent people or people that... And I remember seeing one time, and this woman was a writer. And she was talking about writing books or novels or whatever it was, and she was pointing out the fact that it didn't make a bit of difference how much success. She had written this super blockbuster, or whatever you want to call it, number one bestseller book. I don't even remember her name. And, you know, and so she had done this, and so now her publisher was waiting for her next piece of work. And she said, I had nothing. And I'm expected by everybody to be able to come out with another one, because everybody that really enjoyed this number one bestseller is all looking forward. What's she going to come up with next? That was so good. What's next? And she said, I was nothing. And the whole talk was about, and I don't remember what she called it, but she was giving clear instructions in this TED Talk how that when inspiration comes, that she was talking like this is like a being that comes to you and begins to speak to you and speak through you. And you'd think she was almost talking about God the way she was talking about it. And that's right, because Brother Graham talks about inspiration.
Yep.
See, when God comes down into a mighty service and you go away blessed, get ready. Get ready for the valley.
Mm-hmm.
See? And when a lot of people will write songs and poems, and then after the inspiration would go away, they'd go into a valley, and some of them would try to kill themselves because they felt so low. See? And so That's why a lot of times when your preacher that preaches on Sunday, come along Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, he goes down into a lull. See, pulling away from the inspiration. But all saying that to tell you is that like this woman, she was pointing out the fact that she was visited by this being that brought her inspiration, and bam, here comes another number one bestseller.
Yeah.
See? And so what? Empowered to do something you can't do because the anointing comes.
Yeah.
And it's that way. So you take a person, you can live for the devil, and you let him anoint you the right way, you can do a lot more work from him than you would without it.
Right.
See, and it's the same way. So you let a person who will be anointed of the Spirit of God, God can do more through you if you're just sold out to him and surrendered to him. One man,
yeah.
Right? One man surrendered to the Holy Spirit, God could change the whole world by him. One woman. And so we definitely know we need to be in the Spirit of God. It brings a supernatural element. The Scripture said that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right?
Right.
So when the Holy Ghost comes and gives you power, power to do what? Power to live and express the word of the very Spirit that it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, being that we're in a flesh body, it automatically puts us in line to walk and express in human spirit. You're born in human spirit. And like I said a while ago, that's not what we need. We need the Holy Spirit. But we're born and naturally in the human spirit, and because of that, we're automatically subject to the things that overtake human spirit and the things. So it's just the weakness of humanity. If all we're doing is walking in ourselves, all we're doing is walking in the influence of our neighbor, all we're doing is walking in the influence of what we see online.
Mm-hmm.
See, then we're subject to all the things that rule that.
Right.
See? So, but if we can get ourselves caught up into the Spirit of God, who rules that?
Right.
Amen? No higher court than the court of God. No higher anointing than the anointing of God. And so if we could ever get ourselves into that place, that's where it's all settled and done with when we do that. And so we automatically have that human spirit, and then we're automatically subject to those things that we're subject to. Is we get weak and we get tired and we get hungry and all those things, and we have mind battles because we're humans. Jesus, though he was God in flesh, because he was in human form, there was weaknesses that came with that in human form. And so the Scripture said it was in hurting that he feared. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. And so my point is if the Creator of heaven and earth, when he stepped down from his lofty position that he deserves, and he stepped into human flesh, and while in that mode, in human flesh, he had to pray. He had to pray. The Scriptures, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
He had to pray in order to get rule over his flesh enough to go up to Calvary.
Right.
Because his flesh feared, and he was seeing his spirit of who he was willing. But in his flesh, he was weak, and he had to do something to overcome that weakness in his flesh. He was walking as a mere man, but yet he was God inside. As a mere man, Calvary was a great thing, and he had to overcome himself to do that. And how did he do it? He entered into prayer.
That's right.
He prayed until what happened? The anointing of God, of the Spirit that was in him, now took control and subdued the negativeness and the weakness of the flesh, and he was able to walk up to Calvary. Now, if he, the Creator of heaven and earth coming here, had to do that to overcome, what about you and me?
Right.
What are you going to overcome if you don't ever get into the Spirit of God?
That's right.
See? We must worship him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
So you can get into the Bible all you want, but if you don't get into prayer and get into his Spirit,
come on.
See?
Right.
You've got to. He was the Word made flesh, and the Word made flesh couldn't overcome until he got into the Spirit.
That's right.
See what I mean? So we have to get in the Spirit of God, and this is our failure. This is where people fail so much. They don't get into the presence of God. They don't shut down the things of the world and their activities and say, I don't care if the whole world just disappears. I'm going to get into the presence of God.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. I remember one time Brother Branham needed an answer. And he said, I'm gonna go into them there mountains, and I'm not going to take bread or water till I get an answer. Mm-hmm. Right? And sometimes people have to come to that. We have stages in our life where we need God to do something. But we've already read what it is. In the day, with all our heart that we seek Him, that's the day you'll get your answer.
That's right.
Just remember that. If you go day in and day out, and I've been asking God, I've been looking, and sometimes His answer takes a while. But you know, He'll give to you, as He said, He'll speak to you in some way. He might not give you a vision, but He'll give you an answer somehow that you'll know. Even if you have to wait for it to come to pass. He'll drop assurance in your heart, as Brother Daniel spoke of, assurance that He's had all this week. So Jesus had to pray to get overcome Himself, His fleshly weakness as a man. So what about us? So prayer is a channel, or getting into the presence of God is a channel that He's put in place. And He's not going to leave you standing. He's not going to tell you that if you want to really get to know Me, if you want to find out for Me what My will is for your life, get in My presence. He's not going to let you get in His presence and then not do His end of the deal.
That's right.
See, He's not going to leave you sitting there just empty-handed. So seek Him. Look for Him. Find out what's on His mind. You know that Brother Branham comes along and he tells us there's a deep that calls to the deep. And for those that maybe haven't heard it, he says that if you've got a desire in your heart for something, you can't even have that desire if it don't actually exist for you. In other words, he said there would never be a fish with a fin on his back if there wasn't some water first for him to swim in.
Uh-huh.
And so if I crave chocolate cake, I couldn't crave chocolate cake if there wasn't chocolate cake out there that I could see. And so he's trying to show us here that if you're lonely, if you feel like that in your life there's something missing, it's because there's something for you.
Right.
See, you've got a deep calling. I want something greater in my life. I'm not looking for riches and all that, but I want something to bring peace to my life. I don't have peace. I don't have comfort. I've tried this, I've tried that, I try everything else, and I don't. It's because there's something there for you.
Yeah.
See, or you wouldn't want it. See, a deep calling to the deep. And so you have a desire for the things of God, and then ask and seek and knock, and He'll give it to you. As it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 70, He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen?
Yeah.
It shall. Now this is Jesus Himself saying that heaven and earth pass away, but My word won't pass away. So if you knock, now the key here is with all your heart.
Yeah.
Right? And even Brother Renner come along and said, if you're sincere. Okay? So if you knock, it's going to be open. He's going to do it. And if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you ask, it shall be given. And he gives the comparison in verse 9. He says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, he'll give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? So if your son comes to you, Brother Daniel, says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread? Are you going to reach down and give him a rock? He can't eat that rock. He can't get no strength out of that. And Brother Daniel, as a human being, to love his sons, would never give them a piece of rock whenever they're needing bread for nourishment. He would give them the bread that they're needing if he had it.
Right?
Right? Or if they ask for a piece of fish to eat, he's not going to give them a serpent.
Right?
See? And so Jesus is saying here in the scriptures that if you, being evil, and you being just in humanity, if you know how to give good gifts to your sons, your children when they ask, what about God? That's what he goes on to say there. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? What if you don't ask?
Right.
He knows what you have need of before you ask, but he's wrapped it up in such a way that he wants you to talk to him.
That's right.
He wants you to ask him for these things. And he has promised that if you'll ask him sincerely and you'll lay these things to the side, you're going to get your answers. He's going to fill you. He's going to open to you. You're going to find.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And he's not the weakness, right? It's not him.
Right.
So if we're lacking in things like that, it's because we're not doing it. Amen. I believe that. I'm preaching to myself just like I do you. You know, preachers do that. They preach to you about themselves. You know what I mean? A lot of times, most of the time. Because we're human too.
Yeah, right.
I'd rather you know that I am a brother that fights the same things that you do than to look at me as some great one up there that's untouchable.
Right.
I want to be somebody that you can talk to.
Yeah.
That you can see that I'm right there with you. And so I'm not afraid to say that. There are some, I know preachers that would say, oh, don't ever admit that you fight things too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just being honest. They're not. So he knows how to give these things to us. We have so many distractions nowadays to keep us busy. You know, and God cannot speak to a busy mind.
Right.
Now listen, he's God and can do whatever he wants. But generally, he's not going to speak to a busy mind. He has told you, I've put you in charge of your life, and I'm telling you that if you want the fullness of my blessings to be unfolded in your life, then you initiate what it takes to get into my presence and into my spirit through prayer. And then if you do that, then you'll overcome a lot of things. So if you refuse to do that, if you let things keep you busy, let things keep you all distracted, and you're all the time going and you keep it all covered up, generally God doesn't speak to you that way.
Yeah.
See, he's waiting for you to come and approach him. Which scripturally speaking, we as the bride of Christ in the end time, it is very important. Here we are at the end time, and we're like Esther. And we live in an hour where we really need to go talk to the king.
Yeah.
Right? But there's something that makes us fearful about doing this somehow. For some reason, there's something in the way that keeps us from doing it. But somehow we got to get to the place where we realize that it's more important to go talk to the king than it is to not, whatever's trying to keep us from it. And so we know that's the hour that we live in. So he doesn't normally speak to a busy mind. So we have to create the act in our lives of putting things to the side and making room for God. To seek him instead. When I get alone with the Lord, and I get things away from me, I find it becomes very real to me. I know this anyway, but you know, those that have walked with the Lord can probably understand what I'm saying, but when I get alone with the Lord and things get quiet and get everything out of the way and I'm dedicating, it becomes very real to me that nothing in this world brings lasting satisfaction whatsoever.
Right.
And many of you that's been around for years, you seek after something in life, not necessarily something bad, but you seek after something in life and it just seems like that just is so important to you. And then once you attain that and it's the glory of it quickly fades away, and then many times you look back on that and you realize I wasted time on that. Something I thought I really needed or I really wanted, and now that it was vain. It was vanity. Just waste of time because I was seeking after something that actually faded away. The things in this life fade away. And so I find out that everything, just about everything in this life, disappoints you. And so it leaves. And here's what it is that we're not supposed to be satisfied with this life in this world. We're not supposed to be satisfied with anything that comes from anywhere except that which comes from God. That which comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what that's there for. So there's a hunger in the heart of a believer that can only be filled by the Holy Spirit. And as long as we're here in this life, that desire is there. And if you keep everything out of the way, that'll always be there speaking to you, leading you, guiding you, putting a burden upon you to follow after the things of God. But you can very easily get that all covered up just by staying busy and just got to go here and run and do this, and I got a job and here and that and everything else, and never get quiet, then you never hear from God like you really need to. That's exactly what happens. Or so I said, you know, a real Christian, we have a deep calling to the deep. A real Christian has a deep calling, and they want more of God. A real Christian, listen, you want to know whether or not you really got an experience with God and you got in the presence of God or not? Well, first of all, you're going to know anyway. But a real Christian is sick of this world.
Yeah.
A real Christian is sick of themselves. Constantly.
Right.
You're sick of this world. You're sick of the failures of the world. You're sick of the lies of the world. Politics and everything, the whole nine yards. You're sick of the prices in the grocery stores. I am. They keep going up. You're sick of this stuff. Why? It's because this is all just a shadow, and none of this stuff can supply to us that which can only come from Almighty God. He is the deep to respond to that deep call. And no matter how much time you spend in this or spend in that, and believe it or not, Sister Vicki, as much as your wife, you and my wife, enjoy the beach, enough of it y'all get tired of it. You would. As much as we enjoyed it, we would get tired of it. Some point. Why? Because it cannot provide, money cannot provide, fame and fortune cannot provide that which only comes from God. It's the very thing that should be the idol of our heart. I don't call it an idol, but the worship of our heart. Nothing else can supply it. And we waste our lives chasing after stuff and busy doing things that has nothing to do and doesn't come from that.
Right.
And the lowly Jesus sits over in the corner waiting for us to spend some time with him.
Yeah.
Is that usually what happens? So I don't want to be the most handsome or the richest or most powerful person in the world. I'm not looking to be famous like a president or a rich man. There was a time when I was a young teenager. I'd daydream about this, and I'd daydream about that, and I'd daydream about having my own boat and sail around the ocean or something. Or I'd daydream about being a famous person, a guitar player or something in a band or something, going all over the world or, you know, catching the biggest fish in the world. I used to think about all that stuff, but I went enough miles to know that those things are vain.
Right.
And usually a person that gets to enjoy those kinds of things, their heart's nowhere near God.
Yeah.
Because they're enjoying those things.
Yeah.
I've said it many times. I was telling somebody the other day, typically Christian people have no quest to rise to a powerful position in the land like a president or something.
Yeah.
Or a governor. Christians don't have a desire for that. It's people who have the lacking of Christ in their heart that's chasing after false things that wants to rise to power. So when you look up to Capitol Hill up there, just remember what you're looking at. It's not generally not godly people. Oh, they might talk about going to church. And they might talk about pray this and pray that. But you know what I'm saying. See? It's generally Satan that anoints people that gives them the quest to rise to power, and then when they get there, they're satanic, demonic, because they got all this power and they use it like an animal, and they always abuse that power. Christians aren't like that, real Christians. Real Christians are humble people that want God. So I have no desire to be famous in all those things. Like I did when I was a kid. But what I have a desire for is God. To be more, to have more of him. To be more like him. Amen?
Yeah.
To be with him. And to see him in everybody's life. I want to see everybody walking with God the same way that I want to walk with him.
Yeah.
I want everybody to see him as the reality that I'm seeing him as. Amen?
Yeah.
And so whenever a person is a real Christian, they're all about Christ and they're all about what he came to do and what his program is. And anything that's contrary to that, they're against it. They got to, not endorse it. So I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be chasing after those things. We live here. We have to have a job. It's okay to want a promotion or to want to make. But, the Christian knows how to have a balance in his life. And I just now thinking about Brother Tim mentioned earlier, he got a promotion this last week. But he said, their main, forgive me, brother, if I don't need to say this, but he said, there's the concern there that they might put more responsibility over him than what he wants because he's already pretty full. And that's what I'm getting at. I could seek to go higher in my company, but I don't do it. See what I'm saying? Because as a Christian, I know that if I took one more step above the position I'm at now, at least presently, that if I took one more step, it would overwhelm me and my walk with Christ would suffer.
Right.
See? So I'm at a point where, and in my company, they don't like that. They want you to be push, rise, go higher. They have something called a talent profile, and they want everybody. It's all done on computer system. They got a big internal computer database, and they want everybody's talent profile. They want to know everything about you. What are your skills? What are your schooling? What projects have you done? Everything about your abilities, and they want that in there. And as for me, I've never filled mine out, and I keep getting these emails telling me, and this last one said, we expect you as a supervisor to make a good example and fill out your talent profile. Why? They want you. They want you to push. And they want to know what your abilities are so they can grab you and stick you higher. Or you can use that to stick you higher. And I have no desire to go higher presently at the moment. I say that because I know God can change things. But I have no... See? So a Christian knows how to balance himself. A Christian knows that I can do this and my walk, it's not suffering. And if this is going to ask, no, I'm not doing that because my walk will. So a good self-regulated adult, you hear us talk about that when we're talking about our children want to become a good self-regulated adult. Well, there's a self-regulated Christian that knows how to keep his walk healthy. Amen. And that's what we're talking about this morning, how to keep your walk with God healthy by getting into his presence more. And so I have no desire for those things, but I do have a desire to be like him and to be with him, to see him glorified in this earth. What is it? As we're approaching to the millennium, we're approaching the time that Christ is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And you know what that's going to be like? As we're approaching that time, that desire for that millennium condition is growing in our hearts. We want it more and more each day. When you get sick of this world, it's because you want that millennium. Not that that's just what a Christian is. They want, and God has always had Christians throughout the ages, that he puts the desire in their hearts for what he's going to do in that day. And he's putting that desire in our hearts, getting sick of this world. Why? Because he's going to take us from this world, but he can't do it until we're sick of it and our eyes and the anointing of the millennium is in us. Then that's what he'll do. He'll take us in that body change when that time comes.
Right.
So we have to have that. So in us is this hunger and this longing, but it gets covered up with stuff. And that's what Laodicea is all about. Satan, with all his eating and all his gadgets and all of his stuff to keep us so busy that we never get alone. And when that desire that's there as a Christian doesn't get to grow and doesn't get to manifest itself. Real Christians desire the things of God, and they do it from their heart. It's not like Brother Branham described in Marriage and Divorce, and he said there's two schools of thought, and he said that one of them is the Arminianist thought, and one's the Calvinist. And the Arminianist says, I'd like to do such and such, but I can't because I'm not supposed to, and I get in trouble, so I won't do it. And then the Calvinist come on and says, well, bless God, I can do whatever I want because I got eternal security. It won't make no difference. I'll just go out and sin anyway.
Right.
And he said both of them's wrong. Right? Both of them have a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
Right? But both of them's wrong because he said, you want to go due east, and this was northeast, and this is southeast, and you're kind of traveling east, but you're going to miss your target right out here that's due east because you're going off this direction. But both of them have a truth. Right? Both of them have a truth, and when you bring those together, what it really turns out to say, and he covers that in there, is that the real way of it is that when the love of God is in your heart, that you want to do what's right from the heart. And you're not doing it because you're afraid you're going to get in trouble, right? And you know you've got grace in your life to overcome, but you don't abuse it.
Yeah.
See? And so a real Christian wants these things of God. We want to stand for what's right from the heart. Not because we're afraid we're going to get in trouble or not because of greasy grace. We just want to walk in grace with the things of God because it's from our heart, because of the choice in our heart. That we realize that He's right. He's the only one that's right. He's correct. The Word is right, not man. But the Word is correct, and we realize that. So it's got to go back to that. And that's why we push for that. That's why we stand for that. But if we keep it all covered up with all these other things and never pray and never get into His presence, then those things suffer. So we certainly want to get into the Spirit of God because that's how He leads us and guides us. In St. John chapter 16, He says, Jesus says, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. He was talking to His disciples when they were here. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it? Now look, before we go any further, we would sit and say, you know, it'd really be nice if Jesus would materialize right here, just poof, there He is. I could reach over and put my hand on His shoulders, on His shoulder, and He would talk to me and tell me what I need to know. But according to this scripture right here, that was not the greatest way for God to speak to you. Because the disciples had Him right there. And He said, I've got a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but I can't tell you right now because you can't bear them.
Right.
But He said, I'll tell you what. When I come back in spirit form, then I'm going to talk to you.
Right.
Right? So He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. So Jesus is standing, and He says, now I've come from the Father, and now I'm going back to that position. I'm going back to that light, that holy pillar of fire from the beginning. I'm going back there, and I'm going to send My Spirit upon you, and that Spirit in you now is going to be one Spirit with you. It's going to be My Spirit in you, and that anointing that comes upon you, He's going to tell you, He's going to speak of Me. Just like Jesus was here speaking of the Father, He goes back, sends His Spirit, and that Spirit is there testifying of Him. And begins to share to you and tell you the things that you need to know that you couldn't bear if He's standing here in the flesh to talk to you.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of things that I can tell you, or Brother Daniel can tell you. There's limits to what we can say to you in the flesh, but the real revelation of the things of God comes from the Spirit of God in your walk that we can't give you.
Yeah.
And Jesus couldn't even give it to Him in His flesh when He was here. See? So you've got to have that connection, that Holy Spirit connection, if you want to hear of the things of God. If you want to know the things to come, then you've got to do that. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. So this is how He puts His mind, the mind of Christ. We say we want the mind of Christ. You want to walk with the Lord, and I say it this way, you want to be sensitive. And you know, if you don't, if you never listen to the voice of the Lord, then you're probably not real sensitive to it. And we want to be sensitive to it. I was telling Brother Daniel the day, we have this guy that I don't know what nationality he's from, but he's a very, very smart person, an engineer, very smart engineer. And he's designing a very rare type of motor. I've never seen one like it before. And so he's designing this thing, and it's pretty much just probably just about the first of any of its kind out there. A little bitty guy. Super smart. He's designing this, and the other day, I think it was Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, and I kept feeling like I thought, there's something wrong with this guy. Something bothered him. And this went on for pretty much most of the morning, and he come in and behind in my office, you know, my desk, where there's a big meeting table there where we have meetings, and sometimes guys, if they're in the lab doing something, they'll bring their laptop in there, and they'll sit down and work for a while, and then get up and leave. He came in and sat down behind me, and he's sitting there, and just, I kept feeling, man, say something to him. And I just turned around, and he probably, I don't know why I did it, but I just whirled around in my chair, and I just went, snapped my fingers at him. I said, "What's wrong?" And he looks at me, and he's like, and at first he tried to let on like nothing was wrong. Well, I said, "No, what's wrong?" And he said, "Well," he said, "you know, the company, they set these dates where things are going to be released. So he's got this special motor that he's designing, and they've run into some troubles. And there's a deadline." And that morning, he had called into wherever, I don't know where in the world it is, but into his superiors, and requested a release extension because he's having troubles. And it's not him. It's we're having a hard time finding an epoxy that can hold up to the condition that he's a glue that holds up. And he said, I called into my superiors and requested, and they said no. No extension. See, so that burden was upon him. And so, now, I don't know if the guy believes in God or not. But why would the Lord put that upon me? Why would he have, I think maybe perhaps the opportunity is going to come for me to talk to the guy, right? So we want to be sensitive to the Lord, know his voice, be in communication with him so he can use you whenever he wants to, because that's what we're here for. And even if this guy isn't a Christian, if somehow or another God could use me to help his life be better, then we want him to have a better life. Amen? So, this is how God will put his mind within us, and he can drop his burdens, the burden of his heart, and the direction that he wants us, he can drop that into us. How many would like to have the burden of the Lord? Mm-hmm. I want to know what he's concerned about, and I want to address what he wants addressed. Right. I want to please him. I don't care about this other stuff. I remember Brother Branham said, "I don't care if my coat matches my trousers," and his wife obviously was concerned about that, right? Most sisters are. My wife's shaking her head. So, but you know, and I understand. I totally understand. The only reason why I would try to dress halfway is that if you had people to come in that didn't know no better, that I wouldn't offend them, that they might stay a while and listen, right? But I don't care. I want to serve him. I want to please him. Yeah. And so I'm not interested in trying to make somebody in this world look upon me and think I'm some great one. So we want his burden in our hearts. But as long as we're not getting in his presence, as we'll read here in just a moment, another quote, then we're short-circuiting what we can really possess and have in our lives. So we certainly want to do what we can to make that not be short-circuited, get into his presence. So we want to get into his spirit. So in Patmos Vision, this was out of the Church Age book, Brother Branham gives an example here, and he says, look at it this way. He said, all too many read the Bible where it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and just pass on, right on. They don't see it. If they saw it by getting into the Spirit, they would know that if they want to receive the Holy Spirit, they need to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God would be duty bound to fill them by duty bound to fulfill his word by filling them with the Holy Ghost. They never get in his spirit, or it would happen to them exactly as the word says. So pray to God for a revelation by his spirit. That's the first step, is to get into the spirit. And let me just use another illustration. Suppose you need healing. What does the word say? Well, we have all read it countless times, but didn't get into the spirit of reading it. Did we ask God for his spirit to teach us the real truth of it? If we did, we would call for the elders, confess our sins, be anointed and prayed for, and that would be that. It might not come immediately, but in his spirit, it's all over. That's the point I want to get you to. In his spirit, it's all over. There is no other court of appeal. God will fulfill his word. Oh, we need to get into the spirit, and then things will be done. But in capital letters, he says this: don't go through the act first. Get in the spirit, and then go through the act, and watch what God will do.
Amen.
Amen. And so, that's what we need to do. Get into prayer, get into the spirit in the presence of God, and then, once we're in the presence of God, then go to acting upon his word and watch what he'll do. A lot of times, see, so what's a person doing? They say, well, what does the word say? Well, it says that, okay. Well, that's trying to worship God in truth only, but we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Get anointed. And remember, when you're anointed, it makes it easy. Right? Makes it easier to do what it is you're supposed to do. So if you want to be a good Christian, get into the anointing of it. Then you'll be a much better Christian. God will be using you a lot more, and you'll have a lot more victories. So get into the spirit, and then go into the action and see if God will respond. You know, are you desperate? Some of you have got children that's a wayward. Are you desperate for your children?
Yeah.
You know what? I remember Brother Branham, so many times he'd pray, and he'd go to pray for somebody and say, author of life, giver of every good gift. And what's he doing? He's invoking that character, that he is the author of life. He is the giver of every good gift. Right? So, if you have a burden for your children, or you have a burden for someone else, or you have a need, you get into his spirit, or come into his presence and worship, and get into his environment, and then in that environment, start invoking him as the answer to your need.
Yeah.
If you need healing, thou art the healer, right? You are Jehovah Jireh, right? You are Jehovah. So you get into his presence, begin to recognize him, worship him for what he is.
Amen.
See, that's what he wants. He wants to be your healer more than you want him to be your healer.
Right.
He wants to save your children and draw them from whatever they, more than you do. See, but there's a channel of how he wants this all to work. So you come into his presence, get into prayer, get into his spirit, and then you begin to worship him for what he is on that need that you have. And see if he doesn't go to work and begin to move. Amen. And I know that to do all the things that I said this morning about getting into his spirit, getting in there, then it requires a sacrifice. Amen. When we were talking about, I remember Brother Ben talking about this, and actually, I think I approached this at my grandmother's funeral. Blind Bartimaeus, I think Brother Branham illustrated it, that his mother taught him. And so he's sitting there, and when Jesus comes along and he hears the commotion, and he says, what's going on? And I said, oh, it's Jesus. And Jesus, he cries out, he said, Jesus, thou son of David. Thou son of David. Jesus wasn't expressing the office of son of David yet. But blind Bartimaeus, by what he had been taught and by the desperation in his heart, he was able to reach out in faith and call, identifying Jesus as the Son of David. See what I'm saying? He could have called it, he more likely would have been son of man, would have been the proper for that moment, because that's what he was, thou son of man, because he was a son of man. He wasn't even son of God at the time. Hope you follow me. He was in the office of son of man. When he resurrected, he went into son of God. When he comes back, it's son of David. Okay, we'll make sure you understand that. So blind Bartimaeus should have said, thou son of man. But he said, thou son of David. So there's an approach there, is what I'm trying to get at. There's approach. And when you know what he is to you, you know that he's your healer, then you approach him that way and draw from him that way. When that woman came to him and she said, if I just touch the hem of the garment, she wasn't trying to draw strength from him to be king. She was trying to draw strength from him as a healer. See what I'm saying? So Brother Mem talks about it, said he'd deserted somebody and say, you know, and he'd say, now who did they touch? I'm 15 feet from him. She didn't touch me, but who did she touch? Right. See, your faith can touch God for what it is that you need it, that he supplies. Right. Amen. But get in the spirit and it will happen. So remember, these things require sacrifice. Sacrifice our time, sacrifice our thoughts. Even times when we could have pleasure of just relaxing, you know, and I like to eat, as you can probably notice, but sometimes a person ought to fast. Sometimes a person ought to say, you know, I think about the character of Uriah, the Hittite. You know, when David did what he did, and so he called Uriah off of the battlefield and said, come up, and, you know, and then said, well, Uriah, go down and go to your house, spend the night at home with your wife. Uriah wouldn't do it. Uriah said, I'm not going to go down there and do that. While all my other fellow soldiers are out here sleeping out here, I'm not doing that. Now, he could have enjoyed the pleasures of a soft bed and the relationship. See, he could have done that. But he had a purpose. He had a character to say, yeah, I could do that, but I won't for a purpose. I won't do this to give honor for my brothers and for what we stand for. I'm not going to enjoy pleasures when I know they're after battling. Right? So we can adopt these kinds of thinking in our own thinking and say, yeah, sure, I can kick back on my easy chair right now and enjoy a nice big tall glass of sweet tea, or I can say no and I can go out into the hot shed and pray for a while. See what I mean? What for? Well, there's got to be a purpose that drives you to that. See what I'm saying? And so you hear this phrase, I say it quite often, if a person won't stand for something, they fall for everything. Yeah. Well, find something that's right in the scriptures and stand for it. Mm-hmm. Right? And you approach God standing on the grounds of the word, and God honors that. He looks at that character. That's men of character, women of character. When we stand for principles, knowing that we couldn't just let it go, we don't have to. He's not going to make us pray tomorrow morning when we get up. He's not going to make us do it. But we can do it for a reason, for character, for a purpose. See? And so that's what we certainly want happening in our lives. And so I'll end by saying this. We got meetings coming up next week. Let's ask God this week. Let's ask Him to do something really wonderful next week. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, you may feel like, well, I'm comfortable, everything's fine, I'm a Christian. You know, if you don't have desperation working in your heart, you're not getting in the presence of God. Amen. You get into His presence, He'll give you desperation, and then you'll be able to express to Him in that presence and draw from Him what we need. Amen. What we need for ourselves and for our children, for our families, for the church, for the whole nine yards. See? That's the way to do it. So, I think there's a phrase that says, I forget how it is, but it's, what is it? Anything worth living for is worth about dying for. Something like that. What does that mean? Life is not supposed to be easy street. Life is built on desperation. That fighting for that which is worth fighting for. And worth dying for. You see what I mean? So we as Christians, if there's something that's of value that's worth, it's worth giving it all and fighting tooth and nail for it in your prayer closet or, you know, in the spirit realm till God answers. It's worth that. And so I trust that this morning you have said something that will encourage you to dig down, plant yourself. You know, soldiers, when they get out there on the battlefield and they know there's an enemy coming, and you know an enemy is coming after you this week, right? You know that. But them soldiers know that enemy's coming, and you know what they do? They dig down. They dig a trench, and they say, this is, I'm fortifying myself right here. When he comes at me this week, he ain't moving me.
Yeah.
Right? So you go, and you set aside time to get into the Spirit, get into the presence of the Lord in prayer. And maybe some of you don't even know how to do that. You just get in prayer, real sincere, put everything to the side, get real sincere. And if you have to do like Brother Rand did when he put a note on the street and says, dear Jesus or whatever, you know, whatever, he knows. You get sincere and you get in prayer and he'll show you. And I'll tell you what, when you come in his presence, you'll know. Nobody will have to tell you. You'll come back. Because I remember the first time I had an experience, and I come back and I knew something had happened. God had changed me. And I remember driving home that night. I said, praise God, I got it.
Yeah.
He became a reality to me. Man. Prior to that, I was like praying to the wall. But I knew, see, I'm telling you, he's real. And the time will come where Brother Tony can't stand here and tell you this no more. Brother Daniel won't be able to tell you no more. And at that time, you need this experience. And you can have it. So don't just let yourself go off this week and just, get before God and say, God, I have needs. I've got the Holy Ghost, but I need this, right? I've got the Holy Ghost for my child. Whatever it is, but you get serious before God. And see if he doesn't come back and give you an answer. Amen. I believe he will. And so, fortify yourselves. Get into your prayer closet and dig down. Dig you a trench and say, this is where I'm standing. And I'm not giving up this prayer time. I'm not giving up this putting everything to the side so I can get into the presence of God. I'm not giving it up. Amen. Let's let the musician come. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us. I just thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to come to the house of God this morning and be able to speak and be able to experience these things that are written in your word. Lord, and to be able to just impart to your people some thoughts, Lord, on how they can fight and gain greater ground in their prayer life and in their walk with you. Lord, we have a desire in our hearts, as we mentioned, that there's a desire, a deep calling to the deep. Lord, that we're sick of this world and we want to see you glorified. And I kind of feel like your prophet did there at the last of his time when he was here. He said he was so hungry for a move of God. And so, Lord, that's our desire. We want to see you glorified in all the earth, not just in our congregation and lives of our own people here, but, Lord, in all the earth. Lord, we want to see judgment reign and the wicked to be dealt with and the righteous to be exalted. And Lord, all the things that you promised, you put a deep in our call in our heart, calling for those things. And therefore, we believe that they're coming soon. I ask, God, that you just place this upon every heart, every believer. Lord, that you would give them that fervent desire, Lord, to get in your presence and fight the enemy. We know you'll give them victory. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing and worship just for a little bit.
Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all.
Your cry this morning and this afternoon is the Lord to have all that's in your heart to just give it to Him. Amen. So I want to ask you again to remember the meetings next week and ask that you remember Brother Jordan, who starts a new job this week.
Amen.
He's going to be working with Brother Matthew, I believe. And so ask the Lord to help him get hit the ground running. And just find a place in there where he enjoys what he does and gets compensated well for what he does. And I think plumbers make good money. So, but just to prosper him. And also, it's getting summertime, and I'm sure he'll be out in the heat some. Brother Ben will be working out in the heat, and Brother Daniel works out in the heat. And so, ask that you remember these brothers in prayer that God will keep them cool and comfortable. Amen. That, you know, he can make summer just be a mild summer. He can do that, sure. And so just to remember these brothers, I know, because heat takes a lot out of you. And really, you don't have enough time, and you go home at night. One night till the next morning is really not enough to recoup from it. I know on weekends when I work outside all day on Saturday, Monday, I'm not even recouped yet. See? So I want you to ask you to pray for these brothers and just remember these things. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Does anybody need prayer? We certainly want to pray with you, dude. We'll just give you a chance anytime now as Brother Tim continues to sing. Amen. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen.
I need